Weiner's alleged teen sexting scandal now getting the attention of federal prosecutors. A subpoena just issued for the former congressman's cell phone records.
Why are things impossible to edit?
In the newsroom with new details on this investigation.
The audio of. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? Look, I can't edit the audio unless it's playing. Oh, now it's at minimum audio.
For the embattled former congressman, a huge development, New York governor.
2016, we got our computers built into pieces of glass that we can hold in front of our faces, yet getting a player on a thing to work the same never goddamn works. And sometimes you click it and it, I don't know, can't get the audio right. I've got the worst setup on earth. I need a mixer or a compressor or something so that I can do this and do this, and it all sounds the same. Who knows? Who's in the chat? Does anyone care? Does it sound awful? Let's get some bumper to start, and then we will have to go because we have started. We've started the timer. Oh God, we've hit the minute of the thing that we're supposed to be doing. So let's see if we can get some butts up in this hizzy and start. Yes. News with Nick for episode September 24th, 2016. We will now start the recording of the video version. And the reason we have to start it after the bumper music comes in is because that bumper, then they'll flag it on YouTube and be like, you have a copyright violation. Please pray to the gods and say seven Hail Marys. And you go outside and you got to throw seven long football passes as far as you can throw. Get it? Callback from that other time. It is September 24th, 2016, 8:46 in the p.m. We are doing a Saturday night edition of News with Nick / Puke and the Gang. Andrew and Puke are out racing at Canaan. Let's see if we can Google what this is about. Canaan Autocross. It's going to be a great segment called Read the Information on Canaan Autocross. Join the fun and learn your limits. There is a place for virtually any car. No high roll center vehicles. Visit our website for details. Instructors are available to assist and ride along with novice drivers or any driver who feels like they could use some improvement. So it's just another cone racing event, but it's in a different lot. Maybe it's a bigger lot. I assume it's bigger. And they run it for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. So Andrew and Puke are out camping or sleeping in trailers or something. They are not here. So I need to do a show. I'm completely unprepared, but fortunately for us, there's been many terrorist attacks in the past couple days. If you're listening to this in the future, I guess you'll have to listen to continue to find out what has gone on. Who's in the chat? Anyone? Nobody. Well, there is one. There is a couple chatters, maybe. I'll just send a test out. If anyone wants to chat tonight, we are taking your calls. And by calls, I mean taking your messages on the chat box. So let's see. Where should we get started with? Oh, did you guys, have you guys been scrolling Facebook? And then there's a picture, like someone posts three pictures of random faces. And you go, what? Why are there just three pictures of, why did you just post an album of three people? Apparently it's this new fad that's going around. It's called post three characters that are supposed to, be your personality, right? These three characters are my personality. And everyone posts, I don't know, Stephen Hawking, Albert Einstein, and Fabio or something. Like, these definitely, that's what I should do. I should just post the three most sexiest men and be like, these are the three people that match my personality. Anyway, there's a problem with this game for me in that I don't know any characters. So you're supposed to be posting fictional characters that make up your personality, that best match you or something. I don't even know what the rules are. We could look it up, but I think it's stupid. Usually this stuff starts on like 4chan, moves to Reddit, moves to some forum, and then gets to Facebook, and someone picks it up on Facebook and they're like, let's do the 101 push-up challenge. I'm going to do 101 push-ups for all the suicides in the, in the non-Catholic church, Catholic church suicides. We got to bring attention to that. Anyway, so I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, that's cool that you posted three pictures of random people, because I don't know any characters. Unless they're from Jurassic Park or Saw, I'm probably not going to know who your three characters are. So if you're posting that, you are gay and dumb. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. If you're following along and doing that game where you post three people that are supposed to match you up, unless you're trying to be hilarious and you post like the three scariest people on earth or something, and even that is kind of gay and dumb because that seems like the most obvious joke to do. If someone can come up with a unique joke about this three character posting thing, I'm up to hear it. But if you do it seriously, you need to get a life and not be doing Facebook things. I bet you're one of those people that marks your face with the flag of France and you go, oh yeah, I'm green, blue, and white. I'm up for supporting France. Speaking of supporting things, New York explosion injured 29. It was an intentional act. Uh-oh. Let's see if we can get some more information here. Police are hunting for answers on what caused an explosion that injured 29 people in New York's Chelsea neighborhood shortly before a second suspicious device was found nearby. So this is an old article. Let's get an updated thing. On September 17th, 2000... Scratch that. On September 17th to 19th, 2016, there were three bombings or bombing attempts in the New York metropolitan area, specifically Seaside Park, New Jersey, Manhattan, New York, and Elizabeth, New Jersey. On September 17th, around 9:30 a.m., a pipe bomb exploded in a trash can along the route of a U.S. Marine charity run in Seaside Park. No one was injured. Okay. So they're just running along like, oh, man, that trash can exploded. Someone must have thrown away a Note 7, right? It's a funny joke that you're supposed to be making. So if you want to tell a funny joke in the office, it's that the Note 7 was actually the bomb. This guy's just letting you know what the water cooler jokes are. It's water cooler joke time with Newsnick. Later that day at about 8:30 p.m., a homemade pressure cooker bomb exploded on West 23rd Street in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan. 31 people were injured, 24 of whom were taken to the hospital. A second pressure cooker bomb with wires and a mobile phone attached was discovered by authorities on West 27th Street, four blocks away. Late on September 18th, multiple bombs were discovered inside a suspicious package at the Elizabeth train station. This is news to me, actually. I didn't know about the second day thing. One of those bombs detonated early the next day during the police investigation, and no injuries were reported. Ooh, hang on. Let's see if we can do this. All right, we are back. I found the video I was looking for. So apparently they found the box of second devices, right, on the next day. Multiple bombs were discovered inside a suspicious package. One of the bombs detonated early the next day during a police investigation. So they've sent in the robot, right? And normally the robot goes in and goes, hello, little bombie, let's be friends. I am a robot and you are a robot. So here's some... Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? So here... Why would this open a live leak link? There we go. That's weird. I click the middle of it, it opens live leak. I click the play button and it actually plays. So they sent the robot up to the box. I hope this is not going to be loud. I am so scared right now. Oh! Yeah, it just blew up. Like, oh, damn, our robots. So basically the robot went up. A bomb disposal robot accidentally set off one of the bombs set by the suspected terrorist Ahmad Khan Ronhami in Elizabeth, New Jersey, early Monday morning. The homemade explosive device was discovered by two men who moved it below a bridge and called the police. Police then attempted to disarm the device with robots and accidentally set it off. So they were looking at it. They're going, red wire, blue wire, red wire, snip, and boom. So that was a pretty big explosion. Not huge. I would say that is probably not as good as Red Hat and Black Hats from that Boston Marathoner. And then on September 19th, the FBI identified Ahmad Khan Rahami as a suspect in all of the incidents. He was captured hours later after a shootout in Linden, New Jersey. The shootout left Rahami and three police officers injured. Rahami was hospitalized and charged with crimes. Let's see if we can get some more information on his capture first. Search for suspects. Nope. So, okay, we're gonna skip that part. So we're going to read some information. Investigators believe the blast was caused by an explosive device in or near a dumpster, a law enforcement source told CNN. They are looking at surveillance video that appears to show a person near where the explosion occurred in an attempt to determine if that individual is connected to the blast. The blast. A suspicious device was also found nearby, just blocks away from the explosion. A suspicious device was found on 27th Street, according to multiple law and federal law enforcement officials. So we just read about that one. So that would be this. Lee Parker needs a backpack. He's homeless, and he uses a blue garage bag to carry his belongings. So when he and his friend saw a backpack on top of a garage can Sunday near the train station in Elizabeth, New Jersey, they grabbed it. When I noticed the bag, I said, "This is fine! I can have this for work! I can put my lunch in!" Parker told CNN affiliate CBS New York. As soon as they looked inside, they knew they had to call police. "I knew what I was looking at as soon as I saw it," his friend Evan White told CNN. "It wasn't the cartoon bomb with the tick-tock, tick-tock, but it had wires. The mess of wires and pipes turned out to be 5 bombs. Authorities believe they are connected to explosions the day before in the New York City and Seaside, New Jersey. Police responded to their 911 call. One of the bombs was detonated on site by a bomb squad robot." That one doesn't say it was an accident. Now the men are being hailed as heroes in their community. A local homeless shelter set up by an online fundraiser for the two men. A portion of the proceeds will benefit the Coalition for the Homeless. So here's what we don't know. Like, why is there a box? And again, I previously said that the bomb they found on Saturday was this one. No. The homeless men looked in a backpack and found that box of 5 bombs. Well, why is there a box of 5 bombs? Like, if you're the bomber, you're like, guess I'm not going to set the rest of these bombs out. I'm just going to leave them in a box for a homeless man to find. When was he supposed to set them off? I don't understand anything that's going on. Let's see. There's a funny line in the article. It says, "Police officers and federal agents were scouring the streets with flashlights, robots, and dogs early Sunday to ensure that there were no other devices in the area. Attention focused on another object in the area, but it turned out to be trash." That's a line in the story. Hey, Jim, I think I got something here. Look at that. No, that's trash. Are you sure? Focus more attention on it. Attention focused. 29 people were injured in the New York explosion, one of them critically. Among the injured were David Martinez and Brenda Alberto, who spoke to CNN after they were discharged from the hospital. Said they were lucky to be alive. Martinez said the couple were driving through Chelsea when their car was lifted up by the force of the blast, damaging the left side of the vehicle. "I was driving a car, and the next thing you know, I felt an explosion," he said. "I just blacked out. Next thing I know, I'm in an ambulance." Martinez, who suffered injuries to his head and neck, was feeling pain, a little traumatized, though I thought I was close to not seeing my son again. That is the scariest part. So anyway, so this guy is walking along. He's dropped some of these bombs, right? And then they're like, "What is going on? There were a couple bombs. Let's look at the footage." So they look at the footage, and somehow, from the footage, they decide, you know what? Investigators discovered surveillance video that showed a suspect planting the bomb who was later identified as Rahami. But they knew the guy's name before they caught him. They were like, "Actually, hey, that looks like Ahmad Rahim Rahami. Huh? Put his name out there." Like, how did they know that? Oh, you know what? Maybe they did a search on his cell phone records. On September 18th, the day after the Manhattan explosion, the FBI announced that 5 men who were later found to be relatives of Rahami had been detained in connection with the investigation. So they caught these guys. The men were detained about 8:45 p.m. at a traffic stop, which was conducted by the FBI and NYPD. Huh. Well, anyway, I don't understand how they figured out who the guy was that did it. This is very boring for anyone listening while I go, how could they possibly have found out who did it? Well, anyway, they decided that they found out who did it. The Afghan immigrant who authorities believe planted bombs in New Jersey and New York this weekend was captured Monday after a dramatic gun battle with police that was sparked when officers found him sleeping in the doorway of a bar. Officials had launched a dragnet earlier in the blah, 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 blah. The hunt for Rahami turned out to be brief. So anyway, it's like 2 days later, right? You've blown up parts of Manhattan. People are pissed. They're very scared. They're like, why are there bombs randomly in boxes, in backpacks? Oh, my goodness. And why is the bomber so stupid that he puts them in metal containers like trash cans and dumpsters? You know, things that can stop bombs, right? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bomb so many people. Anyone who gets in this dumpster will be bombed. Yeah, no. If you're a bomber, Put the bomb where there's people, like not in a dumpster. Anyway, the hunt for him turned out to be brief. A bar owner in Linden, New Jersey, spotted the man sleeping in his doorway Monday morning. So you go, I dropped a bunch of bombs. You know where I'm going to go? Down the street, sleep in this bar. That'll be the best place to hide. And officers confronted the man around 10:45 a.m. and soon recognized the person as Rahami. Officials said Rahami pulled out a gun and shot the officer, identified by the Linden mayor's office as Angel Padilla, in the abdomen. Padilla or Padilla was wearing a bulletproof vest. Rahami was shot at least once in the leg and eventually brought down and captured alive. He was taken to a university hospital in Newark where he underwent surgery. So there's a guy shooting in the streets going, boom, 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 shooting at cops. And they shoot him and somehow still capture him alive. He does not get shot to death, right? They want this man alive. Rahami was charged late Monday in Union County with 5 counts of attempted murder of a police officer. He's being held on $5.2 million bail and remained in the hospital. Wait, so you could actually bail out from being a terrorist? Or was he only held on bail for those 2 charges? Let's see. Is there any more information on Rahami? Salem store owner, nothing stood out about Rahami when he applied to buy a handgun. Well, anyway, so he came out with a journal as well. So if you guys want to look up more on Rahami, go ahead. You can find out that he learned to wire a bomb in the U.S. Big whoop, all right? He took the train to Penn Station with the bombs. So he was on the train with these bombs. Cool. Our next story. Actually, let me check my notes to make sure I'm going in the right order. Oh, here's another story. Abandoned rice cooker shuts down. Speaking of bombs, abandoned rice cookers keep bomb squads busy in San Francisco and Vacaville. What's Vacaville? A rice cooker left at a bus stop in South Van Ness Avenue and Mission Street prompted police bomb squad response Thursday morning and shut down a major intersection in surrounding streets for about 2 hours before the kitchen device was determined to not be a threat. Let's see if this video has any information. No, this video is actually raw footage of a fire truck. And so this is the most fascinating news I've ever seen. Oh man, there was a cop directing traffic. Holy crap. Thrilling evidence. All right. Oh my goodness. Just 30 minutes after the rice cooker was declared safe in San Francisco, the police department received a call about an abandoned rice cooker discovered under the I-80 overpass on Mason Street. Why are people keep leaving rice cookers everywhere? A Muni bus driver called the San Francisco police around 7:30 a.m. after spotting the first abandoned rice cooker at the bus shelter in front of the Goodwill store. Oh, sorry. Oh, we're going back. So the first intro was like, oh, there were 2 rice cookers, and now we're going back to the first rice cooker. Police blocked off the intersection and called in a bomb squad to investigate the cooking device. Authorities said the squad's robot was deployed and found the rice cooker was empty and did not pose a threat and did not contain any rice, so no one could eat that day. We have to look at what happens around the world and around the country. We deal with suspicious packages a few times a month in San Francisco. In Vacaville, police received a call about a suspicious device around 10 a.m., prompting the local bomb squad to quarantine a half mile between Peabody Road and Depot Road on Mason Street. It was not an explosive device. It was just an old beat-up rice cooker. You can't be... I don't get it. We can't just be looking at every rice cooker or crock pot and going, that might be a bomb. If that's the case, I got a bomb downstairs in my cupboard. Maybe I should open it and be like, a bomb. What if I call the police and I go, I think I have a bomb? They come out and I'm like, look, I was cooking some pulled pork and I realized I looked at this device and then I looked at the news. It's the exact same thing. And then I give them some pulled pork. So you guys go see Sully up in that movie theater. So I was able to win some tickets to see Sully, if you know what I mean. And by that, I mean I ran a race, and my number was drawn as part of the raffle, and one of the raffle prizes was get 2 adult tickets to see the movies. So I get 2 adult tickets. I pick up the envelope. It says 2 adult tickets. And I open it up as I get to the movie theater, and I'm looking at it. It's 1 adult ticket and 1 student/child ticket. What? I've been ripped off by the by the raffle. Now, I'm not a student nor a child, so we've got a big problem here. I go up to the window. I'm like, we got a big problem here. This envelope clearly says that I won two adult tickets. And when I opened it, I got one adult ticket and one child slash student ticket. And the kid behind the counter goes, are you by chance a student? And I go, I'm definitely a student. And he goes, okay, go ahead and watch the Sully. By the way, Sully, biggest movie of the week, right? So I get there. Theater's horribly crowded, and we have the worst theater. I know we talk about it all the time, so no need to rehash that. But I am not driving an hour and a half to go watch a silly movie. It's pretty good. If anyone wants to watch it, it's not like, wow, this is the most riveting story I've ever seen. But historically, I looked it up, and it's very accurate to the historical incident of that plane crashing down right into someone's swimming pool. He's driving around. He's like, we're not going to make it. Do you see anything we can land in? Yeah. The Jones's swimming pool. It's so huge, we could probably land in it. They do. Everyone gets out. They're like, damn, the Joneses, why didn't you turn the swimming pool heater on? We are freezing in here. And they got to wait for a bunch of boats to come over, save them. So anyway, go watch Sully if you want to watch a plane, I guess. I don't know. It's pretty good. ISIS wing claims responsibility for the Minnesota mall attack. What is the Minnesota mall attack, you may say? Well, since I am reading you the news, we will find out. A man who stabbed 9 people at a Minnesota mall Saturday before being shot dead by an off-duty police officer was a soldier of the Islamic State, according to an ISIS-linked news agency. So this is before the bombings happened. This news story kind of got, like, forgotten. But this was the biggest news until these explosions happened. September 17, 2016, a mass stabbing occurred at the Crossroads Center shopping mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota. 10 people were injured, and the attacker was shot dead inside the mall by an off-duty police officer. At about 8:15 on the evening of September 17th, an individual began stabbing patrons inside the Crossroads shop. It began stabbing patrons. Before the spree ended, 10 people were injured, 3 of whom were hospitalized with non-life-threatening wounds. The attacker was identified as Dahir Aden, age 22. He was born in Kenya and moved to the U.S. Blah, blah, blah. He was had no record of violence and was a good student throughout his educational career. So, let's see. We still don't have anything substantive that would suggest anything more than what we already know, which is that this was a lone attacker, and right now we're trying to get to the bottom of his motivations. The FBI is calling the attack a potential act of terrorism. So there's not too much information on this. There's not any information on how he did the attack. Let's see if we can do another news search for this. This is kind of sparse on information. ISIS claims responsibility. Officer ID'd in Crossroads stabbing. The FBI is investigating a Crossroads Center knife attack on Saturday as a potential act of terrorism. Turns out, sounds like it was just a crazy man who loved ISIS, couldn't get his hands on a gunzo, so he decided to pick up a kitchen knife, go to the mall, and start stabbing people like crazy. Like, why? What a waste. You're so boring. Why are you not, getting a gun or anything? Mother says son was suspended from school after reporting a knife. A Branch County mother says her son was suspended from school for doing the right thing. Let's see if the video has any information.
A Branch County mother says her son is suspended from school for doing the right thing.
News Channel 3's Brittany Gray is live in Coldwater tonight. She talked with the boy's mother, who says, Brittany, her son is being very unfairly punished here.
That's right. You know, Kyler Davies is a seventh grade student. He's the one who found this pocket knife in his backpack. His mom tells us she bought the bag at Goodwill, never checked it. So when Kyler found this knife in his back.
Kyler, my name's Kyler, and I love.
Backpack, he told the counselor, but was then suspended.
He was turning it over like he was supposed to. And you are.
Oh, man, this mother is very upset. She is crying right to the cams. I wonder how many times they did this take.
What is she damn for doing what's right?
Denise Davies says she doesn't think her son, 12-year-old Kyler, will be back to Coldwater Community School.
Whoa, why did the audio just go real bad? All right, maybe we'll boost that in post.
On the first day of 7th grade at Legg Middle School, Kyler found a pocket knife in his backpack, a bag his mom bought at Goodwill.
Pulled it out, and his counselor was standing there, and he says, can I call my mom? And she's like, why do you need to call your mom? He says, well, I found this. This isn't mine.
The leather case was at...
Yeah, here's the thing. Any bad kid is not going to point out that they have a knife. Any good kid is going to be like, I found a knife, and I should not be having this knife. A bad kid's going to be like, sweet, a knife. Let's go to the mall and do a stabbing.
The bottom of his bag. Davies is a foster parent and tells us not...
And the mom should be like, sweet, we got a free knife with this Goodwill bag. That is like bonus. It's not as good as finding 100 buckos, but you got a free knife.
None of her children have access to those types of items. But Davies says per school rules, the incident meant an automatic one-year suspension, a punishment that was later knocked down to 30 days.
What? Oh my God. I thought it was going to be like 2 days. An automatic year suspension for having a knife, but then knocked down to 30 days. This just...
And the issue wasn't just contained to the...
I don't want to say the most obvious thing, so you... I think everyone in their brain can understand what's happening here.
It spilled over onto the football field. Davies tells us the school tried to keep her son from playing football.
The school told me he could not go on their property. He could not play. He can't ride the bus.
We spoke with Coldwater Rocket Football, the organization that runs the local football program. It is independent of the district and tells us the school wanted the Rocket program to kick Kyler off the team. They refused.
I understand the violent stuff going on.
Okay, so there's another organization. It's the football organization. And the school called them and said, hey, by the way, Kyler, he's got a knife in school. You should kick him off.
Schools? I said, but when you get somebody that is honest and turns it in, he wasn't trying to hide it. And then he's getting punished for it.
Yeah, this is the dumbest thing. Let's see if we can find any more information on any updates here. Kyler Davies, blah, blah, blah. Just read that audio. Seventh grader suspended after reporting pocket knife to school, mom says. All the news stories say mom says. Although, what if she's just making it all up? I'm a mother, and I say. Student suspended after reporting. I found this isn't mine. I want to see if there's any update to this since a week ago. Because sometimes once stuff breaks in the news, the people go, oh, crap, it's in the news. We better not be an idiot. The board need not expel the student if it can establish to the satisfaction of the board that the object or instrument was not possessed or for use as a weapon or blah, blah, blah. The weapon was not knowingly possessed. The student did not know or have reason to know that the object or instrument possessed constituted a dangerous weapon, things like that. So sounds like just a dumb overreaction. And of course, like the mom said, we don't even need to say it again. If you're punishing the honest kids, what do you make out of people? You make the dishonest kids. I remember 5th grade, my most traumatic experience of my life. Stand in line in 5th grade. My eyes spot a device. And by device, I mean rice cooker. No. I spot a $5 bill on the floor. That's not even a device. It's just a piece of paper. But I spot a $5 bill on the ground outside. I'm like, oh my God. Holy crap. I'm rich. A $5 bill. Then I go, you know what? I need to do the right thing. I will turn this $5 bill in and I will say, teacher, I found this. Maybe its rightful owner will come looking for it. So I go, teacher, I found this $5 bill. And she goes, oh, thanks. She puts it in a cup on her desk. And I go, I've done the right thing. I have turned in the $5 bill. 4 days later, she's hanging out with one of the teacher's assistants, like one of those aides, right, that works for the Slows. And she's like, you know what? You want any water? I'm going to go get some water. You want some water? She walks out of the house. She walks out of the classroom holding the $5 bill, comes back with two waters. I knew never again do you turn in something you found and you never be honest. Here's another story. My dad was at the landfill with me. And he said, son, come smell this. And I smelled it. And I'm like, he's like, what does that smell like? And I said, it smells like pepper. And he said, son, that's marijuana. I just found it on the ground. And I go, whoa. And he's like, I don't know what we do now. I guess we go bring it to the police. And I say, okay. So we drive our truck down to the police station. And we go, hey, we just found this. Can we turn it in? And they go, you're under arrest, sir. No, no, no. They didn't do that, but they could have easily done that. Holy crap. It's not legal to possess it even if you're turning it in. We took a huge risk there. I didn't know enough when I was like 7, but my dad's like, I guess we're going to turn in this marijuana to the police station. It probably wasn't that much. It was probably like, I don't know. I don't know how much it was, but whatever. So that happened. But never be honest. We could have sold that marijuana for like $5, and then I could have made my $5 back from that incident in 5th grade. I don't know which one happened first, actually. Very funny. Next story. Do we have anything? Oh, yeah, my parents are here. So anyone listening may be like, Nick, why are you up at 7? Why are you up at 9:17? Shouldn't you be sleeping? You got to get up at 6 a.m. for a marathon in the morning. I'm like, oh, you are correct. Hey, I have my marathon shirt. It's right here. Anyone on the video version? By the way, if you're not watching the video version, head on over to pukeinthegang.com. Oh, I'm not sure if we're putting this out on PCL only or on PCL and live. If it does go on the free side, head on over to pukeinthegang.com. Click on the episode. You can see the video version. If we put it up on the live side, you'll get access to that too. Or the free side, I guess we should say. The freebies side. So I've got my marathon numbering already. And just getting ready. Already ate my pasta. And I've got all my carbs in me. And I'm just going to have to remember to not get injured, I guess, in the morning. And then we'll see what happens. Should be the worst day of my life. I'm planning on this probably being the last time I run. Like, you know, I made it. You know, 26 miles, that's good enough. I did a marathon. I think I'm probably injured now. I may very well be. This could be my last run. So my parents are in town. They've come to visit the area, and they're staying for the marathon, which is very nice. And they were renting a cabin down by the local lake. And I get there. I'm like, hey, wow, it looks like you've rented a cabin, and you've got some kayaks and some canoes. Is that paddleboard available for rent? Like, is that part of the rental? And they're like, yeah, I think so. I'm like, okay, I'm taking it out. So I take it out. Next day, I take it out again. Next day, I take it out again. I'm paddleboarding all over the lake. I'm paddleboarding on this thing. I'm looking at this paddleboard. I'm like, you know, this is a pretty nice paddleboard for a rental. You do not see, quote-unquote, free paddleboards being this nice. I'm like, I bet this probably isn't a rental, right? Like, I'm probably using someone's paddleboard. But I keep riding it. No one's saying anything, so I just keep riding it. Always get in the line for the train, even when they say this train's in full. And by train, I mean boat. 4th day, I get on the paddleboard. I'm halfway across the lake, and this guy runs up to the shore, and he goes, hey, 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 that's my paddleboard. Nah, he didn't say it like that. He said, buddy, that thing's not for rent. And I go, oh. And I immediately start paddling the other direction as fast as possible. I'm like, catch me now. Get to the other shore, run off with it, and then I go, oh, this is actually pretty heavy. No. So I paddle back, and I go, very sorry, I didn't know. Can I borrow it? Do you want, like, $20? I'll rent it from you. And he's like, nah, we can't do it because of the insurance. I'm like, come on. I'll slip you a 20. He's like, no, can't do it. Insurance. I'm like, okay, whatever. So apparently you can rent kayaks as part of the camping site. You can't rent the paddle boards, but guess what? I got three or four. No one tell him that this show is up, by the way. If you can even find out who I'm talking about. But anyway, the point is, I got like 4 free days of paddleboarding on a nice kayak of someone else's. And point is, just do whatever. Like, what's the worst that can happen? You have to be embarrassed and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Whatever. Oh, goodness. All right, so we've got a huge thing that's happened. This is pretty much the top story constantly. If I go to CNN.com, I bet it's the top story right now. No visual evidence is the biggest thing. Police video offers few answers in the Charlotte shooting. Do you guys want to hear another cop shooting? Because this happens every couple weeks. It's kind of getting old. It's almost as old as a terrorist attack. But here's what's happened. So, Keith Lamont Scott, 43-year-old African-American man, was fatally shot by an African-American police officer on September 20th, 2016 in Charlotte, North Carolina. Police officers arrived at an apartment complex to search for an unrelated man. So they were doing a warrant at an apartment complex. According to the police, officers saw Scott exit a vehicle. So he gets out of the vehicle in the parking lot carrying a handgun. Shooting. Okay. Officers saw him exit the parked car while holding a handgun. Then he returned to his vehicle, then exiting again as officers approached him. At a news conference on September 22nd, Putney stated, which is one of the cops, that Scott did not comply with police officers' instructions to, quote, drop the weapon. Officers gave loud, clear, verbal commands, which were also heard by many witnesses. Putney described Scott as an imminent deadly threat. Police officer Brentley Vinson then fatally shot Scott. At the time, Vinson was in plain clothes wearing a police vest but not a body-worn camera. Three other officers on the scene were in uniform and wearing cameras. Scott's family claimed that Scott was in his car reading a book when the shooting happened and that he did not have a gun when he exited the vehicle. Police contend that no book was found at the scene of the incident. Chief Putney said that the false rumors had been spread by social media, and he told reporters that a handgun was seized at the scene. So what we have from the family is he doesn't have a gun. He's holding a book. What we have from the cops are we didn't find a book, but we did find a handgun. Not that he was holding a handgun. Not that we found a handgun and it was his. A handgun was seized at the scene. Okay. So, then there's been a huge fight. So, the family has seen some of the video and the cops have decided, you know what, we're going to put out more of the video. It's very confusing. So, the cops put out some video tonight. Like, this is breaking news. Let's see if I can pull up some information on this, like timeline-wise. And then the cops have decided that they are, okay, we are going to release the video tonight, but the media has gotten it, and it looks like some of it's been maybe edited? It's hard to describe. Let's see if this video has any information. As we always like to say, because I don't like talking for 28 hours straight, so sometimes I like to play a video. The following video contains graphic language and images. Viewer discretion is advised. Okay, so we're not going to watch that because that is probably just the video of the shooting. So let's see if we can get the transcript at least. Oh, wait, here's the video I was looking for, I think. Police officers say they saw a gun. Putney said there was a cell phone recording as well, but from the wife, but it didn't factor into his decision to release the dash cam and body camera video of the fatal shooting. Our practice and our protocol is to release as soon as we can to inform, he said, adding that he waited until the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation assured him it would not adversely impact the investigation. So basically for a couple days he said, we're actually not going to release the video. And then suddenly he says, we are going to release the video. But I've read the reports of people have seen the video, and it doesn't look like you can see a gun. It doesn't look like you can see a book. It doesn't look like you can see anything in any of these recordings. So if those recordings existed, they haven't been released. That's the bottom line. We don't need to play the videos to figure out that that's the case. The bottom line is the videos show almost nothing other than a little bit of audio and a little bit of gunshots. Here's the transcript. Okay, the wife. Don't shoot him. Don't shoot him. He has no weapon. He has no weapon. Don't shoot him. He didn't do anything. Officer in the background. Drop the effing gun. Drop the gun. Drop the gun. Wife. He doesn't have a gun. He has a traumatic brain injury. He's not going to do anything to you guys. He just took his medicine. Officer keeps yelling, drop the gun. Let me get a blah, blah, blah over here. It's inaudible. Keith, don't let them break the windows. Come on, get out of the car. She's yelling at him, but she's quite a ways away. I don't know if he could hear her. It's kind of hard to tell. Officer, drop the gun. Keith, don't do it. Drop the gun. Keith, get out of the car. Keith, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Keith, don't you do it. Gunshots, blah, blah, blah. He better not be effing dead. He better not be effing dead. I know that effing much. I know you better. I know that he better not be dead. I'm not going to come near you. I'm going to record, though. I'm not coming near you. I'm going to record, though. He better be alive because he better be alive. How about that? Then she calls 911 and says, yeah, the cops just shot my husband. 911 should know by that point, right? Because shouldn't the cops radio it in? Maybe not. Who knows? So they shoot the guy. He does not make it. And all of Charlotte begins to riot, right? So not sure that there's too much to comment about that. Charlotte goes into riots. This happens all the time. People hit the streets. They just start looting places left and right. And the video is now released. So we're not going to, I guess we just wait a couple days and see if we can find out what happens. Is anyone going to be charged? No, it's going to follow the same trajectory of almost every police shooting where something weird happens. It's like, but he, even if he had a gun, he wasn't pointing it at anyone. So, we had an incident in this area where a man had a gun. They stood him off for 3 hours while he stood in a corner by his apartment. He had a gun, clearly, the whole time. It wasn't, oh, that might be a gun. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's a toy car and he's autistic. No, it was a gun. Everyone knew. And he wasn't, they had guns trained on him in case he pointed the gun at anyone, but he never did. And still after 3 hours, he didn't ever shoot anyone other than himself. And somehow we were able to not shoot him. All these other departments, you know, they see someone maybe with a gun, they shoot him after a couple seconds. I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be, like, out of your mind and have a gun. So maybe I don't know what he's thinking. To me, it's like, okay, if you have a gun, you put your hands up and you say, I don't have the gun anymore. But that even that doesn't even protect you. We're not going to go over it, but go look up the video from Tulsa. They shot a guy in the streets who had his hands up. I'm like, what is going on? This is crazy. No one's even talking about that one because they didn't riot so hard. I mean, people are talking about it, but Charlotte's getting more attention. Is it? Why is it getting more attention? Because there's more videos or because there's riots? People say the riots don't matter. They don't do anything, but it looks like the riots may be doing something. Not productive necessarily, but it's drawing more attention. If there's two simultaneous like shootings that are simultaneously bad, which one's going to get more attention? The one that riots or the one that goes, nah, I think we'll be peaceful. Hey, I'm not saying what you should do. I'm saying what the observation is, right? And the observation to me seems very obvioso. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. A Philadelphia man who went on a fatal shooting spree left an elliptical letter. An elliptical letter titled Doomed, depicting a hatred for law enforcement but leaving a few other clues about the rampage.
This individual, during the course of his shooting spree, actually struck a police car. There are two officers that were not hit with gunfire who were responding to the scene. And of course, you know, in that alley, he engages with the officers who subsequently fire upon him and kill him. He fires at them multiple times. We know that he had a...
This is just another quick hit. Another shooting happened in Philadelphia. This was last Friday, and a man left a letter titled Doomed. Let's see if we can find a thing about this. Doomed letter. Letter shooter. Are we able to read the letter? No. So we'll edit that search out of the final version. All right, let's get into something completely different. Anthony Weiner has hit a new low. Disgraced Democratic, disgraced Dem. Dem means Democrat, right? Anthony Weiner, sorry, after text to 15-year-old revealed. Disgraced former Congressman Anthony Weiner told FoxNews.com Wednesday he knows he has a problem. Well, has anyone been following this? This is guy, years ago, it came out that he'd posted like a picture of his boxers and sent it to someone, and he accidentally posted it publicly on Twitter rather than sending it privately to someone. And it went all over the place. He got, like, fired or whatever. And that became a huge thing. And then years later, he sexts again. Then he keeps getting caught sexting. And at this point, it's just like, it's like girls, like they're trying to get him to sext them so that they can go to the news and be like, hey, he sexted me too. Anyway, he says he knows he has a problem after his never-ending sexting scandal reached a new low with revelations that he sent X-rated messages to a 15-year-old girl. Wiener's alleged sexting with a then-high school sophomore, who has not been identified, began in January and lasted for several months. Wiener's wife, who is a top Hillary Clinton aide, announced in August that she was separating from him. He says, I have repeatedly demonstrated terrible judgment about the people I have communicated with online and the things I have sent. Wiener said, however, that he had likely been the subject of a hoax. So he's saying, you know what? I think I didn't talk to a 15-year-old. I've likely been the subject of a hoax. I have no one to blame but myself for putting myself in this position. I am sorry. But screenshots provided by the girl clearly show Wiener's Twitter handle responding to direct messages. At one point, she notes that he goes to high school, and Wiener asks, where do you go to high school? Messages on the Kick app, Kick is a messaging app, where Wiener allegedly used the alias T-Dog, and on Facebook show Wiener's face and often picture the former congressman shirtless. Wiener could potentially face legal troubles for his interactions. New York law makes it a crime to persuade someone younger than 17 to create sexual or nude images. It's also criminal to disseminate indecent material to a minor. If the unidentified girl is is out of the state, the lewd messages could become a federal issue. Ooh, goodness. All right, so let's see if there's any information on Wiener.
Sexting scandal now getting the attention of federal prosecutors. A subpoena just issued for the former congressman's cell phone records.
Eyewitness News reporter Kimberly Richardson is in the newsroom with new details on this investigation. Kimberly?
Well, Diana, this is a game changer for the embattled former congressman. A huge development. New York Governor Andrew...
Embattled. Embattlers, take your positions! In one embattled corner, Anthony Wiener. In the other embattled corner, 15-year-old on the messaging app.
Cuomo.
Now, battle.
Spoke about just yesterday, saying if true, if Wiener was carrying on a sexting affair with a 15-year-old girl, quote, it's possibly criminal and it's sick. We now know federal authorities have issued that subpoena for Wiener's cell phone and other records. The probe, it's all very preliminary, centering around what the online publication The Daily Mail reported yesterday. In a lengthy article, including an interview with the teenage girl, the underage high school student claims she engaged in a texting and Skyping relationship with Wiener. She claims it all started last January and carried on through late April. The young girl says the affair began before Wiener's wife, Uma Abedin, a top aide to Hillary Clinton, announced she was leaving her husband. Wiener told the Daily Mail he believes he was the target of a hoax, but federal authorities clearly feel there is enough evidence to move forward with this investigation. Now, the teenage girl in the Daily Mail says she didn't want to press charges against Wiener because she...
Oh, sorry. They were about to get to an interesting point where I think they're going to say that she felt weird about pressing charges. Let's find out.
Believed the relationship was consensual. As for the NYPD local authorities, it says it has no complaint against Wiener at this point. We first reported this story in the ABC 7 News app. We'll be sure to bring any developments to you.
Anthony Wiener carried on a months-long online sexual relationship with a troubled 15-year-old girl, telling her she made him hard, asking her to dress up in schoolgirl outfits and pressing her to engage in rape fantasy. In one message, Wiener tells the girl, I would bust that tight pee. I'm not going to say the dirty word. Oh, here's a picture of him. Oh, wow. Holy crap. He's like in a pool or a hot tub or something. Anthony Wiener carried on a month long. He's in a pool. You can see half his face, and behind it, it's like 3 feet. Don't fall in. He's probably like, you're over 3 feet, right? Because you're 15. He said, I thought of you this morning, hard. I thought of you this morning, period, hard, period. She says, what did you think about? He says, it's embarrassing. She says, tell me. You can tell me anything. And he says, is like to feel that? Literally no one I feel that is true about. Is like to feel that. Oh, sorry. You can tell me anything. Is like to feel that. Literally no one that I feel that is true about. She says, what? That was weirdly worded. Or maybe I misread. So this 15-year-old is way better at wording things than Anthony Weiner. He says, super clunky. I want to feel like I can tell you anything. She says, is there something that I can do to help that? I feel like I can tell you anything, which is a rare feeling for me. he says, oh, so that was... Oh. So that was a while back. Then that's it for that message spree, apparently. Oh, no. He says, and you can... you can tell me anything. I'd like that. She also says, man, there's like way too many screenshots here. We can't read the whole thing. See if there's any information from the girl. Ooh, is this an interview with the girl? This is amazing.
I just wanted to see if he was still on Twitter. I figured that he probably deleted his Twitter after what happened in 20.
She's saying, I just wanted to see if he was still on Twitter, although they've obscured her voice into a way that she sounds like a man.
13.
And she doesn't even look... Her face is a little blurry. She doesn't even look hot. I mean, I know she's 15, but like you can tell if it's going to be an ugly 15 or an okay 15, right?
I just wanted to see if he'd respond. He had his direct messages opened. Took that as an invite. I kind of stroked his ego by saying... I was a huge fan.
This is impossible to listen to.
And he immediately responded about 2 minutes later and just started talking, and we talked the whole night. And as we were direct messaging, I checked my Facebook, and he sent me a friend request. And the next morning, he sent me another.
Man, do any of our listeners want to try to sext Anthony Weiner, and then we can publish the post? That would be great. Can Bridget please do this? See if you can sext Anthony Weiner. You're gonna have to send some pics of your chest. I'm sorry, but it's for the show. So do this. Sext him for a couple months. See if he can say anything weird. Be like, it's for real this time. I really want to do it. Maybe even like you might even be able to sleep with him, and I can give you like one of the voice recorders, and then you come back to this show and be like, Anthony Weiner again. And then we publish it. And then we can put our logo all over the pictures because the Daily Mail has just put their screenshot all over this. My goodness. I would bust that tight pussy so hard and so often that you would leak and limp for a week. Oh, that's what he said, apparently. Wait, is this an album? Oh, no, it's just an album of Weiner and pictures of his wife. All right, that's cool. So Anthony Weiner in trouble. Now, we don't have much time for this because he is going to jail very soon. So anyone who wants to be get on the sexting bandwagon with Anthony Weiner so we can publish it for the show, you're going to have to do it probably immediately. Iowa man busted for measuring self with ruler. An Iowa man was arrested last night for allegedly measuring his penis with a cardboard ruler while at a urinal inside a college library bathroom. Police collared? Thomas Morgan, 42, on a misdemeanor indecent exposure charge in connection with a May 7th incident. Oh, this was months ago. What are you talking about? He was arrested last night in connection with a May 7th incident? Whatever. Morgan, cops say, was inside a restroom when he partially turned his body toward the victim/witness who was using a urinal in the bathroom. Morgan then measured his penis against a cardboard ruler. Now, why is this a link? Measured his penis against a cardboard ruler is a link. Oh, crap. It's the word-for-word complaint from the police station. All right, here's his official thing. He's from 2258 Davis Street in Iowa City, Iowa, 52240, if you want to find him. Let's see if his phone number's here. We could give him a call. Oh, my God, that would be so amazing. I bet his number's not on here. That sucks. What if you could just call him? Damn, it's not on here. We're going to just have to send him a snail mail and see if he'll Skype in. Okay. On May 7th, 2016, the defendant was inside the second floor men's restroom at the University of Iowa Main Library when he took a step behind himself and partially turned his body toward the victim. So he's standing at the urinal station. And then he steps a back, step back, partially turns toward the victim slash witness. The defendant made a comment regarding his size. No, you got to do a verbatim. This doesn't help us at all. The defendant made a comment regarding his size. The witness slash victim told officers that two cardboard rulers were on top of two of the urinals. The rulers had dark Sharpie markings regarding penis size. What? That doesn't make any sense. It's like when you're a kid and you're measured up against the side of the wall. The victim told officers he felt weird and uncomfortable seeing the defendant's semi-erect penis. The defendant admitted to officers he measured his penis with the cardboard ruler. The defendant denied being aroused but told officers he's guilty of being curious. All right, so that was the complaint. Is there any more information? It is unclear from the complaint whether the rulers were homemade. Nope. So basically, the article is just a rereading of the complaint we just read. He was booked into the Johnson County Jail last night and released shortly before midnight after posting a $1,000 bond. The Iowa City resident, who has been scheduled for a September 23rd district court preliminary hearing, has been ordered to have no contact with the victim. What do you guys think are the chances if we do Thomas Morgan, Iowa City, phone number? I should probably pause the recording while I do this. Boop. Okay, that's recording. So we are going to call Thomas Morgan and see if he wants to give us any information on why he was measuring himself in the bathroom. I do have to tell him he's being recorded, right? That is the law.
Well, it's about a relationship between a man and a woman. They love each other very much. You know, all the little problems, there would be no problem.
Yeah, this makes no sense. Hello, Thomas? Thomas, we're wondering why you want to measure yourself in the bathroom. Is this Thomas? All right, Thomas, sorry about this. All right, so I don't know what that was all about. Sorry about that. I thought we had a good number there. Apparently not. This may have been a completely fake website that I found that lists a bunch of people. Oh well, sorry about that, folks. We're going to move on to another story. That was a huge waste of time. We'll edit that out in post a little bit so it comes out a little bit tighter than that happened. Now I'm turning into anyone who edits their audio. Police say a 17-year-old makes a toddler smoke weed. When you first hear of peer pressure pot smokers, you picture your first-year college students of coming-of-age teens, not toddlers. That's why a video that police say Lamil Yancey of Arkansas uploaded to Facebook is causing furor online. It's causing furor? Huh. It shows Yancey urging a diapered 3-year-old to smoke a joint. The boy is Yancey's nephew. In the video, Yancey hands off the joint to the boy in the backseat of a car. You want to hit the blunt, man? He says to the toddler. All right, let's see if the video has any.
Want to hit the blunt? Do you want to hit the gas?
Yeah.
I got you.
Oh my God. Do you want to hit it? Yeah.
Video police found on one of Lamil Yancey's Facebook accounts.
Don't be in a blood like that.
It shows the 17-year-old handing what he says is marijuana to his 3-year-old nephew and encouraging him to smoke it.
Hit the blood one more time.
Oh my God, he is completely black and naked aside for a diaper.
Really makes you sick to your stomach. This is a 3-year-old baby.
Sergeant Brian Dedrick says in his more than 20 years of policing, usually nothing.
Yeah, is it illegal? If you're 3, is it illegal to smoke pot? Who says it's illegal to give kids pot?
Prizes.
What? You know, harming a minor, contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Is that what he's going to be charged with? Yeah, what if that's the secret so that kids aren't so hyper all the time? You know when your kid's being all hyper and he's running around, he's like, calm down, I don't care anymore. Stop, smoke a pot.
Tim. But this case does.
I was really just disturbed by what I saw.
He says what's even more upsetting is it appears that the toddler has been exposed to the substance before.
You know, the way the child holds it,
He was an experienced pot smoker.
And up to its mouth and actually, you know, either inhaling or breathing in, the blunt.
Police contacted.
That three-year-old is a more experienced pot smoker than I am, so good for him, I guess. Finding parking in a busy area may be difficult, but one woman appears to have gone to extreme measures to secure a space. According to the Daily Mail, a young boy in Kuala Lumpur...
Finding parking in a busy area may be...
Kumpur, Malaysia, was told by his mother to remain in an empty spot until she could get her car and park there. So let's click on over to the Daily Mail to get the actual news rather than reading it from somewhere else. 3-year-old boy is left alone to sit in a car space for a middle of Kuala Lumpur for half an hour by his mother so she could have somewhere to park. Here's a picture of him. He's sitting with a purple dinosaur. The little boy, passersby snapped pictures of the 3-year-old boy sitting in the middle of the space in the center of Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia in a sweltering hot day. At first, concerned drivers thought the youngster was lost and approached him, asking if he knew where his mother had gone. But the boy told them that he had been ordered to sit in the path and keep the space free until his mother returned to the car. The picture of the youngster was then posted on social media by Win Tan, who said he spotted the boy sitting quietly in the road. He added the incident. This doesn't sound like an incident to me. Sounds like a boy sat down, was being peaceful. Maybe he was on some pot from the previous story, and just was like, yeah, I'm just chilling, hanging out, holding my mom's spot. It's the least you can. If you're a kid, the least you can do is sit somewhere quietly. You're getting fed food. You're getting sleep for free. You're getting tucked in at night. Bible stories are read to you 24/7 whenever you want them. The least you can do is sit in a parking spot and hold it. Many are slamming the mother for leaving her son in the street alone. One person commented on the image and said the mother was using the boy in the same way that our drivers would use a cone to reserve a parking space. Yeah, except you can't use a cone. That's rude. But if you use your son as a cone, that's perfectly fine with me. Student suspended after posting picture of a discolored water in the school bathroom. This came from Westland, Michigan. Hazel Junko. Junko? Says she was concerned when she saw discolored water coming from a sink in the girls' restroom at school. Let's see if there's any video of it. Finally, however, she had no idea she would be suspended because of the picture she took. She says
she took a picture of just some water coming out of a faucet, posted it on Twitter complaining about it. She never imagined what would happen next. Hazel Junko says when she saw discolored water coming from the sink at school, it upset her.
I just took a picture of it, and then fourth hour is my newspaper class, and I went and talked about it with them.
Oh, fascinating. Is it? Is fourth hour your newspaper class?
She posted the picture on Facebook and Twitter. Why?
I always hope that, like, something good will happen. Well, somehow.
I always hope I get a lot of likes and shares and Instas.
I'll have someone who wants to help us with money, because our school obviously doesn't have money.
A short time later, she got called down to the office at John Glenn High in the Wayne Westland School District.
She told me that I was being suspended for 3 days OSS for taking a picture. It's inappropriate use of electronics in the restroom. And everyone in my school, every girl takes like selfies in the bathroom and makes it their profile picture on like Twitter or Facebook.
Isn't that great? Your profile picture is a girl in the background is just urinals.
Or whatever. And no one has.
Yeah, I know. There wouldn't be urinals. That's the joke. There wouldn't. Yeah, I get it.
Gotten in trouble.
Dozens of students protested by tweeting bathroom pictures they took without getting in trouble. I called Wayne Westland Superintendent Dr. Michelle Harmala.
Holy crap, they are scrolling through people's Facebook pictures, and all of their pictures are just them standing in front of stalls.
She looked into it and says she found out high school administrators made mistakes. For one, they didn't report the water issue to maintenance, so she did.
So I reached out to them. They sent a plumber out right away. We do have a piece of the pipe that leads to the faucet.
Fascinating. So part of the pipe was making the water gray. All right, we're going to do one more story. I don't know if this is a feel-good story or not. Let's see if I got the thing up. Here it is. A woman, and then we're going to roll right over into off-the-air live watching. Maybe it's not even live tonight. If not, we won't watch it. A woman who discovered three men inside her Atlanta home absolutely wasn't having it. The video released by the Gwinnett Police Department shows three men with guns walking through the house for about 2 minutes before the woman comes out of a door in the top/center part of the frame. You can see the man in the white hat start to approach her with his gun drawn, and then she starts shooting. He turns and runs for cover with another man. A third man runs through the room from the right side of the screen to the left, but the woman ignores him and chases after the other two. Let's see if we can watch the video. I don't think there's any audio. Okay, so the video starts. It looks like it's a dark... I can't tell if it's a garage. I mean, it looks kind of like a garage, but I think it's actually like a front room of a house. But my goodness, she's storing a lot of stuff in here. There are a bunch of paper towels, and there's an entire stack of... like boxes that say CC on them. I don't even know what that would mean. I gotta Google this.
Cardboard box CC.
Can we get any clues from like an image? Google image search. No, I don't know what that is. It's like a stack of them. She's got like 15 of them. Whatever it is, she keeps a lot of them. All right, they busted through the door. It's a silent video. It's her security cam. And this is from only about 10 days ago. No, actually, a week ago. They're all holding guns. They busted through the door. All right. We got to skip ahead to the shooting. Oh, it's not a garage. Yeah, it's certainly... it's a... oh, okay. It's like an entry room. Oh, man. There's another camera. All those boxes, all those boxes? They should be offloading those. If they're armed robbers, they should just be grabbing all those boxes of CCs. All right, we got to skip ahead to the shooting. Oh, here we go. So we're at 3:15 into the video. This is crazy. Two guys are walking toward the left side of the screen. Oh, all of a sudden he's ducking. They run. One man starts running the other direction, and she starts chasing to the door, starts shooting. She's on the phone with the cops at the same time. Oh, she just keeps shooting out the door. Then she closes it. She's like, done with them. Oh, it looks like the gun's empty, actually. Now she goes to look for the other person. He's probably scared out of his mind. He's like, oh my goodness, she has a gun. According to WSB-TV in Atlanta, she hit one of the suspects and he died in the driveway. Ooh, that sucks. She's exercised her right to defend her livelihood and her property. So, I guess good for her. She shot up some intruders. Although they were walking around that house for a long time. I guess you had to load the gun up. Still, perfect. All right, so this has been a... I don't feel like we've done really anything great. It would have been great if that guy had answered the phone. Do I have any other notes that have happened? Let's see. So my parents had the cabin, right, on this lake. But the internet was real weird. Like, the internet was in the store of the campsite, but it didn't quite reach the cabin, but it was so close. Like, you literally walk out the door and you can get a signal. So my dad had this extender, like this Wi-Fi extender. Normally you plug it directly into a wall outlet so that it grabs the signal and it just re-extends it halfway across your house or something like that. Well, so we take the wall extender and we plug in two extension cords and we run it out into the yard of the cabin, tie it around a fence post, set it up, and then that is taking the internet from the store all the way and sending it into the cabin. So I connect to the internet. I, of course, can log into their router, username admin, password, and see all of their admin settings. And pretty much I could change all of their settings because these people, anyone who sets up a router doesn't know what the heck they're doing. And if you run a campground, you certainly don't know what the heck you're doing. At one point, I walked over there and I said, hey, you guys, the internet actually hasn't worked for the last 20 minutes. Do you have any idea why? Like, I don't know. Well, it's back there. And I literally walked behind the counter of their, like, checkout counter, and I unplugged their extender, their router. I think they're running actually their own extender. But anyway, I unplugged it, plugged that back in, and they're like, oh, okay. I guess do whatever. Like, they didn't care what I was doing because they have no clue. Just pretend you know something about the internet and you can hack anyone. Just walk in, be like, you know, I was really hoping that I could help you set your internet up. Maybe it'll be a little quicker. Just give me the password. I'll log right in. Log in. Put a tracker on their network. Hack all their bank accounts. It's so easy. Just pretend you know something. What do you guys think that Sully... what do you think Sully... So Sully the movie, we talked about it earlier. So the news... basically, the story of was like how he was experiencing the whole thing of having landed a plane in the lake and then how he was responding to all the news coverage was way too much. But the real Sully is still alive. So now they need Sully 2. Sully 2 will come out, and that'll be him reacting to having watched Sully 1 and all the news coverage related to Sully 1. And him going, oh man, it's too much again. Why did I let them make this movie? It's too much pressure. All right, this has been News with Nick. Or something for September 24th, 2016. Thank you for listening. I hope it was decent, and there have been several terrorist attacks. We had to cover, like, most of them. It was crazy. They get a little boring, though. It's like, I'd rather hear about a man who's measured his self. You measure yourself with this cardboard ruler, and you hold it up to my cardboard ruler, and then we'll compare our cardboard rulers. I'd much rather hear about that happening all over the country. That is hilarious. Than a guy who puts a bomb in a dumpster. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting for a second, but it's like, yeah, we never get any info. The cops are like, I don't know. There was a bomb in a dumpster. There was a stabbing of 10 people. Yeah, I want to know how 10 people got stabbed. That makes no sense. Think about this. So you're in the mall, right? You're in the mall. You're going, yeah. I think that guy is stabbing people. So he's up to like 3 people, I'm pretty sure. I think now he's up to 4. Now he's up to 5. I should probably keep watching this stabbing and see if he comes over. No! How are you getting 10 people stabbed? Are they old people? I guess if they're old people, like there's no way an old person can get away fast enough. You could probably stab 10 old people, right? Before they can get away, because they can't run. Anyone else, if you start seeing a stabbing, you're running. And yeah, I don't care if he's a quicker runner than you. If you've got at least a 3-stab lead, then you are getting away. 3-stab lead. Oh, crap. There was another shooting. We have to cover it. Crap, I don't want to. Let's see. Where is it? I don't even know where it is. Maybe I can just grab it on CNN. There was a guy, he walked into a mall. Oh, here it is. Walks into a mall, shoots up a Macy's. A blurry surveillance photo of a rifle-toting man accused of shooting 4 women and a man dead inside a Washington State mall. This is the biggest attack this week. We've got the bombing. We've got the cops shooting blacks. We've got the stabbing. We've got another shooting. This is the biggest one this week, and it's getting, like, some of the...
4 women shot.
I get it that it just happened, but this should be the biggest news, and I don't get why it's not. Like, the riots are still the biggest news. Authorities searched the Cascade Mall in Burlington for more evidence on after Friday night's rampage, and they have not identified the attacker or his victims. 4 bodies were removed from the mall Saturday and are in the possession of the Skagit County Coroner's Office. The Coroner's Office is in the process of identifying the victims and notifying their families before the names are released. Critical lead in the case comes from a grainy surveillance of camera footage, which captured the... Why do I keep saying between things? Security camera footage is what I say. It's so annoying. Captured the suspect initially appearing to enter the mall unarmed and about 10 minutes later walking into Macy's carrying a rifle. So what did he do? Went to the rifle store, got a rifle, and then walked into Macy's? That makes no sense. Did he store a rifle in like a vent? Yeah, I'm going to store this rifle here. When they least expect it, I come get it. He fired multiple times, struck 4 females ranging in age from a teenager to seniors. And it's unclear whether the suspect, who police said appears to be in his late teens or early 20s, knew his victims. We don't know what his motivation was. Well, duh, you don't know who he is. I don't know what his motivation was to continue. I don't know what his motivation was to stop. And I certainly intend to find out. So he goes into a Macy's, shoots five people. People are in panic. They're running, right? They actually ran over to the theater next door, which is part of the same building, and they said, we have to evacuate the theater as well. Sir, I apologize for interrupting Sully. We need to evacuate. So they would go outside. I heard someone tell the story. They go outside, and as they get outside, they're like, oh, man, there's a lot of cops here. Something must have actually happened. But witnesses described the chaotic scenes and confusion when the shooting started around 7 p.m. I didn't know anything. The theater attendant came in and apologized for stopping the movie and said they were having to ask everyone to leave. At first, she thought it was a drill, but you immediately think about what happened in Colorado, as you know, the Batman shooter, and you get out. When they got outside, they saw police vehicles, but no officers in sight. We didn't know if there was a fire, so we started looking for smoke of some kind. Then a few officers started canvassing through the crowds, asking if anyone saw anything. An officer with a large gun started yelling for people to leave and fast. So the shooter shoots a bunch of people, runs out the door, either gets away on foot into the woods or something on the highway. Into the woods on the highway, that makes no sense, but like takes the general highway direction somewhere. Or he grabs a car and he drives off. They don't know where he is. This is rare for shootings. Normally, you get the shooter within the day. It hasn't been a day yet, so we don't know. You usually get the shooter within a day if he hasn't already shot himself in the face, or he's the Batman shooter and he goes, I guess I'll just wait to be arrested. Maybe this is one of the real ones. Maybe all of the false flags are the suicides because they can brush that under the rug quickly. Get rid of all the evidence, get rid of the bodies. Everything's closed case, no loose ends. Boom, boom. Media, report on this 24/7, 365 for the next 10 years. Please. Oh, we had a real shooting? A guy who was not an idiot? He shoots and then he runs? I'm not saying what you should or shouldn't do, but these shooters that keep killing themselves, why are you doing that? Make a run for it. The only reason you're killing yourself is if you're a government operative and you are doing a shooting as a false flag and you don't even actually exist and you're AI. And probably the place you shot didn't exist either, right, Newton? Nobody even knows. That was real. All right, I'm getting over my head with the conspiracies, but he gets away, and it's not really a big story. It's the biggest shooting we've had in several days. Head on over to MSNBC.com. I bet the top story is not. Charlotte police release the Scott shooting video. Number two, live now, watch the Global Citizen Festival. Number three, Obama stresses significance of a new museum. Number four, setting expectations for the first of eight. Number five, murder at Macy's, gunman still at large. That seems like a big deal. Maybe it's just me. Gunman walks in, shoots, runs out. That seems like a big deal, but whatever. I guess next time we will have an update to the Macy's shooting. Will they find the man? Will they find a man that looks kind of like the man, and then they say that was definitely the man? And just have him like die in a shootout in the streets and be like, guess what? No loose ends again. How convenient for us police. Now, drop the gun and please get arrested or shot by me again. All right, this has been News with Nick again. I'm going to end it for real this time. Thank you for coming out. And hopefully Andrew and Puke have a good race. And hopefully I have a good jog through the countryside, if you know what I mean. And by that, I mean jogging through the countryside. See ya.